He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
And my colleague Jay DeMarkin is out west working on real estate. No, he'll be looking at the cars and SUV situation out there and be able to give us a report in a couple of weeks when he's back on stream here with us. But he's doing real estating out there for a relative who owns a house in Arizona, and he's got to get it prepped for sale. And to that end, I spent the weekend between real estate showings or appointments or dealing with appointment requests and skiing up north in Vermont. And as it happened, I happened to make round trips between Thursday and Sunday to Vermont to deal with both matters, skiing and real estate. Had a chance to peruse the gas situation for those people like me and you who pay attention to gas costs when we go to fill our cars up. And those of us who do a lot of driving and don't have to worry about our credit card bills each month, there's quite a variety. And other than places like Chicopee, Mass., which seems to have the lowest gas prices in that neck of
consistently,
whether or not there's a gas war going on. Pittsfield is the other place. It happens to be a very good place to locate the cheapest gas. And both Shell and Mobil, as well as Cumberland Farm, have at least one of their numerous stations. Cumberland Farms does not have numerous stations in Pittsfield, but Shell and Mobil do. Have almost what I would say wholesale pricing on gas at one of their stations, branded stations. And there's a branded Shell station that was at 213, and there's a branded Mobil station that was at 219, and the other same brands were at 229, 225, in the 220s, except for these single station locations that I discovered going through the local roads to Vermont ski areas as opposed to going up the New York side, which is the fast way to go and cut in at Bennington or north to when you want to get to the Vermont ski areas. But in my case, I was able to monitor how I use my gas range in my vehicle so that I didn't have to fill up at a higher priced spread or station between the discounted ones, the cheap ones that I could get to in Pittsfield on my round trips. But to that end, there's going to be an interesting situation which came on the news that I heard this morning about, is it Venezuela, who seems to be the major gas supplier to the Citgo stations that are in this country. And Citgo in U.S., it was a report on the news, they may have to file for bankruptcy if the sanctions that the American government wants to put on, is it Venezuela? I think so, go into effect, which would severely deplete the ability of the Citgo stations to get their supply from Venezuela, which supplies their stations here. And they have been they're sort of a major brand in my head, but nobody really knows that they're not necessarily sourcing their supply of gas solely from one country. But in any event, their normal pricing is usually several cents below the major brands. And I use Mobil and ExxonMobil and Shell because the Northeast here in our neck of the woods and up through Vermont seem to be a lot of the major stations that you run into as you're driving north and south along the Route 7 and the Route 91 corridor. And also, if you have credit cards that give you a certain number of cents off per gallon discount, either on your credit card bill or at the pump, because it adjusts the price as you slide your card through from what is posted on the pump to sometimes a few cents, 3 to 5 cents lower than what the posted price is if you use a branded gas as credit card, may disappear from the Citgo stations as we go through. I say this for those who pay attention to this kind of thing. Many of us don't. We have one of those stations between here and Torrington, and it'll be interesting to see what happens to the pricing as this problem in Venezuela gets worse for the potentially worse for.
It's been so bad for so long. It's hopefully we'll be arriving at some sort of resolution imminently.
Well, we'll see. We're going to see. You seem to want to move on, so we'll move on. Prices are sort of easing up a little bit in cars. I think the tariffs on the steel and the major components that go into building cars are starting to work their way into the system of minor price increases. Since I'm a Jeep fan right now, I am spending a little time sort of cruising through those lots and looking at sticker pricing on models that I am familiar with, against which I have been able to acquire in previous years.
But that wouldn't stop you from offering. By the way, I wasn't going off gas. I was just going off Venezuela. But would you still, if you were buying a car, go in and make an offer?
In most cases, there's been a move afoot for several years of trying to have one price pricing. And
yeah,
various manufacturers, Saturn started it way back. There are a couple of, there's rumors that the Chinese are going to try to do that when they price their vehicles, if they get vehicles onto the U.S. market. There are other models that are, other brands that are trying to move. There are dealership people or dealerships that are trying to move that way too. You know, it hasn't caught on as being the major way to price your vehicles. You still see on the TV employee pricing. Cash discount in lieu of financing your car. And and GM and Ford and sometimes in Chrysler at the year-end models, you see these for pickup trucks. $9,000, $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 below the sticker for certain option models, and as we have said over and over, for those who listen over and over, there's a sale going on at a dealership, or at a manufacturer, just about every day of the year in one form or another.
Most people I know in who consider a big ticket item, like a house or such as a car. Would always
it's happened in a lot of other retail outlets. It's not officially sanctioned, but I know that it's very natural to say, well, you know, I really can't afford $30,000, but I could offer you 28, and it's up to the in this term that was a car figure. It's up to the person selling the vehicle, whether or not, or the dealership, whether or not they can sell you that particular car that's at $30,000 or $32,000 or whatever for the price you offer on it.
Or if they can find you one that you can get for $26,000, for example.
And
whole conversation, what I'm trying to find out is that should still exist, because
it does exist.
Only in this.
Saturn was fairly successful, though. I mean, it's dependent upon every dealer paying attention to what the manufacturer wants to do, and not so you can't go to four Saturn dealers who rarely do, but might have the same optioned out vehicle at
32.1. The whole idea was for the people who didn't want to have to negotiate, because that gave them anxiety.
Well, what those prices usually are, those fixed prices, are usually something between the suggested sticker price and a price that you might be able to get if you didn't have to pay a single price put on a vehicle. I mean, you know, a lot of dealerships put pricing on and they put window stickers or window indications on, was $39,000, now $33,000. This is in the used car market particularly. You see this all the time.
Because people love a bargain.
Well, and of course, when dealers get used cars as trade-ins or buy cars at a car automobile auctions and all that, they have paid a certain cost factor in acquiring those cars, or given a certain dollar amount as a trade to the which is always lower than they expect to try to resell it. If they can't resell it, they send it to the auction block, or who knows where.
Right, but there's a whole.
There's a formula that the retail public's never meant to know what it is.
But it exists,
and it does exist somewhere. You know, and you don't ever know whether you got the end lowest price you could get a vehicle for, even if you do get the bread at the price you want to pay. They may still have had $300 built in there.
Oh, easy.
But they have a lot of costs. When you figure that the dealerships are paying somewhere between $80 and $120 and maybe for some of the foreign brands higher labor costs per hour to work on your vehicles because they've got an overhead in their service department and they've got to pay those guys whether they're working on the car or not on a daily basis. And they advertise and they've got all these other costs going on. It's generally thought that the retail business in new cars is very, very short on any profits at all, measured mostly in the hundreds of dollars above the total cost. But I don't even know how they figured out what the total cost of holding a car is because you've got dealer floor planning costs. You go buy a couple of dealerships and going from here to New York, and they are just packed. You know, they've got acres of trucks and SUVs and cars sitting there, which are delivered there, and somebody has to own those cars. And the dealers, the manufacturers want, I don't know what the point of sale of a car is in the manufacturing to the dealer, but, if you've got 200 cars, new cars sitting in your lot, you've got to move those cars at a fairly brisk daily, weekly, or monthly pace to keep turning over the cash.
Auto malls in New Jersey, for example. I mean, what you're describing is minuscule in comparison.
That's true. But we have a local Ford dealer here that used to have nothing in inventory, and now you go by and they have got their limited size lot stuffed end to end with vehicles, both new and used. Mm-hmm. And because the dealership changed hands and the new owner is applying different marketing tools and methods than the former owner was doing. And all of a sudden, it's actually quite nice to see that they are, because you see them on the license markers, the license plate marking frames, the dealer's name and on lots of trucks around here and vehicles, which you didn't used to see. As compared to the other competing similar makes that were located 10 to 20 miles away from here. And so that they're moving the iron, so to speak, because it's forced upon them. So again, when you're finally going to pay the price that you end up paying for whatever you buy, you don't really know what the cost of that dealership is of that car. They may be taking a loss on the sale of one vehicle, but they're going to make it up on the sale of another vehicle later on. I don't know how they do it. Okay.
It's pretty, when I say standard business practice, you know, if you're in a volume business, then you have more latitude than
right.
if you're not.
That's
you know,
true.
That's all.
I mean, there are some smaller dealers who have been known to own all their cars that they ever got from the manufacturer. They've either had such good business plans in effect that they were able to, or the principals were so wealthy that they could pay cash for their vehicles. Now, you're talking if you got 50 or more new vehicles at average price of between 30, well, what average? Let's say between $30,000 and $80,000, and you multiply that by the number of vehicles in the lot, and you actually say, do they really own these outright? They're not financing them? You know, something happened somewhere along the way to allow them to do that. But very few dealerships can do that or principals can do that. It's unique to those.
So, long short, would you look at a sticker price to make an offer on it?
Generally, I would look at a sticker price to make an offer on it. And as you know, I spent a lot of time.
Yeah, so well, you know how much – you know where things are.
Well, you can – anybody can go online and find what the cost factor was. Right. You used to be able to go online and know what the wholesale price was, and there were programs out there that said never pay full price for your car. Here's what the average sticker or what you could conceivably get the car of your dreams for if you can find a dealer who will do it. But a lot of people, you know – very few people pay cash for their cars. So if you don't pay cash for your car and you still make a deal, the dealers can load you up with other little things that bring profit back to them. We've talked about window etching of serial numbers or code numbers so that if your car got stolen, It could be located if you knew what the number of your windows were, and they do every window in the car. So if it gets stolen, they'd have to break every window to get rid of all that glass and put new glass in, or somebody might be able to find that car somewhere in the United States or the world. But that'll cost you $350 if you pay the retail of that. And
we're just talking about buying, not leasing, because there's no negotiation on leasing, or is there?
I don't think there's a whole lot. Leasing is bundled into the whole thing of how many miles a year you drive and what the cost factor is. And then you also work your registration and some of the – sometimes you can work different things in. So there's it's a much more fixed price situation, which may be discernible as to what it is and may not be. I want to find out what mine is eventually when I come to the end of the lease of my 2019 Cherokee, for example, that is a three-year lease with 36,000 purchased miles in that lease. Because I don't know, you know, if I have to pay more than a certain price, I may or may not buy it and turn it back to the dealer. But if I can get it at the price I want to get it at, and I do not know much about negotiating prices at the end of leases. Sometimes they're built into the lease amount, and you have an acquisition fee, and you've got certain other things, and you've got to be sure that the car hasn't been damaged bodily or functionally during the course of the time it's going back in a damaged condition to the dealer. Because you might have to pay for
if you open a production company, for example, and you rent furniture, there's always it's
scratches and dents and all that.
It's an interesting, you know, it's a market that you don't know. One doesn't know much about until one is in a situation where they have to.
To the end is the reason I leased this vehicle is because the leasing amount was significantly less than it would have cost me if I had to bought it and finance it.
Right.
In 100%, which is what my traditional way of having done it over the years was before I finally got debt-free on car ownership.
Right.
And that's the way of that particular part of the business. So
what are you finding out there in terms of what people are driving? Are a lot of people?
SUVs. It's amazing. You go into parking lots in the Northeast, definitely for sure. I do not know what Jay will find out there in Arizona, whether SUVs or whether there's a lot of sedans still out there. I still claim that there are a lot of people who like sedans. Apparently not enough to keep the manufacturers, our domestic manufacturers, wanting to keep producing them. But there are a lot, those that continue to manufacture sedans, of course, as some manufacturers disappear from the sedans disappear from the market, it's going to put those that do produce sedans into a better position because you'll have a limited source of sedan vehicles available to choose from, and for those people that like to only buy American, it may become difficult if the American manufacturers don't keep sedans that are currently purchased by American buyers of American iron. So
what happens? What happens to all the rental car fleets?
Well, the rental car fleets are the same problem. If they won't buy sedans, if they don't think that sedans are what people want to rent, and that further puts pressure on the manufacturers because they can't sell sedans to the rental car fleets, or else the rental car fleets will be able to buy the sedans at a much better price than they currently already do, and that'll keep the manufacturers' assembly lines going. But then the rental cars have to get rid of them at the end of their, their life, their rental life, so to speak. And as I have said on this show, that's a good place to go source a purchase of a vehicle if you are not too fussy about what options you want on the vehicles, because rental companies do not normally outfit their fleets with some of the logical options that people who are in the know about what they want to buy want on those cars. You wouldn't believe the number of people who didn't know heated steering wheels exist, and now they have discovered it, and they can't believe that they didn't. I've got one real estate client who just purchased a large GM product, SUV product, and it happened to be what they call the Denali line, which is the top of the line, and it comes with all the bells and whistles, including not only heated front seats but heated rear seats, and to his amazement, the first time he's ever had a heated steering wheel. And I've said on this show before, if you're in a cold weather state, you should probably want to buy any car, any vehicle you want to buy.
You want a cold weather package.
You want a cold weather package, and preferably you'd like to have a heated steering wheel, because once you find it, you don't want to be without it the next time.
But what I want to go back to for a second is on the rental cars. How does one go about trying to buy a car coming off, out?
Well,
of-
rental cars have sales, and they have websites.
They
and
do.
They sell. They
I don't mean
generally,
rental, I mean fleet. Yeah, okay.
They will sell their. They generally rotate their cars through between, I think, roughly 12 to 30,000 miles. They don't want to keep a rental car in the fleet for. I think 30 is probably high. I would guess probably between 12 and 22 to 24 thousand dollars. They'll turn those fleets over. They may be holding them longer now because costs of cars have been going up. But it depends. That's another voodoo economic thing that I have no clue.
But so you look up Hertz or Avis.
Yeah, you go on Hertz.com or, you know.
Okay,
all
so,
of
that,
them.
So
they
so,
all have they all have fleet sales. There's one in Hartford, I think, Budget or something. I think sells their cars, and they've got a place that you can go. And
it's just good to
you
know.
You go online, and you can find what they've got available for sale, and then you can go. And they've generally been well maintained. I think they're pretty religious about oil changes because they generally rent out to people. And there's a lot of those cars are driven quite a few miles in there. Early in their lives, and that's
and the
why
expectation
they
is that they're going to behave properly.
And they don't want to have them beyond the warranty because they probably I don't know what the warranty programs are for fleet cars.
But
they may not be as long as the ones that we sell retail, but they may be 3 years, 36,000 miles, and they certainly don't want to have them in their fleet nearing their end of their warranty situation
right.
In case they need to have repairs done and that kind of thing.
I
will tell you something. We're coming down to the end of this. I went through a Vermont dealership, a Jeep dealership, and saw a color and a model of vehicle that I am well familiar with, and their lot. And so I went in to see what was going on, and I did not get in and out before a salesperson came out and accosted me and wanted to know whether he could help me or not. And I said, well, not really. I'm sort of looking at this particular vehicle because I like it and I like the options that I see in this sticker. And he said, well, you know, let me give you a price and send it to you, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyways, 15 emails back later, I still have not gotten the price at which I could pin down the guy on what the price of the vehicle was going to be, either in a lease or a purchase. He played with me on these emails about terms, and I said I might want to lease it, not, and I might trade, and I might not trade, but I wanted to know what the net price was going to be, and I didn't really get him to finally give it to me, but I just watched these. We had email exchanges for 2 weeks on this particular vehicle, and he kept saying, "Well, as soon as you come in, we'll tell you what the price will be and
right.
All that. We have to look at your vehicle if
you
want to
trade
it." Because
you don't want to put it. Understandably, you don't want to put it in writing.
Well, because they won't.
No, because
they might do it at some point, but until they can figure out whether you're really serious, they're not going to give you away anything at all,
right.
Even to lure you into the deal transaction stage.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.